Professor Greeley, good morning.
Good morning.
You are the director of the Center for Law and the Bioscience at Stanford University.
Yes.
And you have been working on different issues in health law and bioscience, including the use of cognitive and enhancing drugs by the healthy.
Actually, I've worked on issues of enhancement more broadly than just cognitive enhancement. So I've also written on issues of genetic enhancement, issues of performance-enhancing drugs in sports, and questions of enhancement in general across a variety of areas. Sometimes people look at cognitive enhancement as separate, but I think it's more useful to view it as one of several different kinds of enhancement, mm-hmm. technological enhancement, about which there are controversies.
Okay. So I was wondering, what are the arguments in favor of cognitive enhancement or enhancement in general?
Well, it almost doesn't need an argument. It's almost definitional or tautological. Enhancement means to make better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the argument in favor of cognitive enhancement or other forms of enhancement is that you are somehow improving some characteristics. I think that education enhances us. So that's a form of cognitive enhancement.
Because there are a lot of controversies regarding actually the use of drugs by the healthy in order to improve their cognitive abilities. So,
well, I think it's crucial to ask what's special or different about using drugs for enhancement versus using all the other things we do for enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
We go to school to enhance our cognitive abilities. We eat well to enhance our cognitive abilities. We get a good night's sleep to enhance our cognitive abilities. Many of us drink caffeine, which enhances our cognitive abilities. So lots of what we do is aimed at cognitive enhancement. People tend to focus only on drug enhancement, and even then only on new drugs. Very few people are worried much about caffeine. And to some extent on some of the more science fiction-y device enhancements, things like implants and so on. But I think from an ethical perspective, you really have to ask yourself, is this importantly different
mm-hmm.
from other forms of enhancement?
Okay. And so you have written different articles on the subject, and you explained that maybe one of the concerns that we may have relates to the safety, because For the moment, there haven't been a lot of studies about the effect of drug for enhancing purpose. Why we don't have studies about that?
Well, at least in the United States, under our drug regulatory regime, you don't need to do studies on every use of a drug. You just need to get a drug approved by showing with studies that it's safe and effective for one purpose. So the FDA has approved, say, Ritalin, as safe and effective for treating attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Once it's approved for that, a physician can prescribe it for anything else he or she wants.
Mm-hmm.
So from the pharmaceutical company's perspective, why spend the time and money on doing trials for enhancement for a drug that you've already plan to or have already gotten approved for a disease indication, particularly when if you start proposing to market it for enhancement purposes, you're going to run into a lot of social controversy and backlash.
Okay.
As it is, you can have your cake and eat it too. Your drug can be widely sold for enhancement purposes, as I think Adderall and Ritalin to some extent are. And at the same time, you don't have to either spend the money to do the research or take the social backlash that might come from actually trying to get it approved for an enhancement purpose.
This wouldn't be, because if we study and then we prove that the drug is actually not bad for an enhancing purpose, I would think that for the pharmaceutical company, it would be like even better.
It could be. It could increase their market size. It could also, if they decided to then submit it for approval for that indication, then they could actually advertise it and market it for that use, which you can't do with an off-label use.
Okay.
On the other hand, it's an expense, and it would involve them in social controversy. And it's unclear how much of an improved market they would get from it. It's also, I think, the case that the research might show it doesn't work, in which case, or that it's not safe, in which case they would cut down their market.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now, I can't think of anything sold as a drug whose main use is enhancement use. Even Ritalin and Adderall, I think their main market is for ADD, or at least people who have diagnoses
mm-hmm.
of ADD and ADHD. So I think the pharmaceutical companies are leery, are nervous about getting involved and being perceived as being involved in the enhancement business.
Okay. There are also other authors that say that the effect of drugs such as modafinil may actually depend on the IQ level of the person, and it tend to have the greatest benefits for those with lower cognitive capacities than the person that already have a high IQ. And so they believe that this would actually lead to fewer inequalities.
It's an interesting open empirical question. And it probably, and it might well be different for different drugs, it would have different ethical implications. If enhancers tend to bring everyone to the same level, then you have to worry much less about fairness issues in the use of enhancers.
Mm-hmm.
If enhancers gave everyone, say, a 50% boost from their current level, then it would be making the high-performing people even more high-performing and could increase the size of the gap. So I think it's one nice example of why you can't, or why it's not wise to take a position about enhancement overall,
mm-hmm.
the ethical issues as well as the safety and other issues revolve around the particular kind of enhancement. Its pluses, its minuses, its strengths, and its weaknesses. The modafinil study, by the way, as far as I know, that's only one study,
mm-hmm.
And it may be true, it may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even convinced, really, that we've demonstrated modafinil has enhancing powers beyond the enhancement that comes from being able to stay awake more.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the areas where I think further research would be really useful, to determine for all of these potential enhancers what their safety risks are, what their actual benefits are, and whether those benefits vary, and in what ways those benefits vary depending on the person taking the drug.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that people with lower IQs benefit more than people with higher IQs. It might be that women benefit more than men, or men benefit more than women. There might be lots of variations, and all of those might turn out to be relevant to our analysis of whether and how the drug should be used.
And what,
further research is required,
yeah,
which is the last sentence of every research article ever written.
Yes. besides further research, what do you suggest in terms of regulations, maybe?
Well, I think there are three things we should worry about. I think we should worry about safety. And before a drug that is expected to be widely used for enhancement is permitted on the market, I think we should have studies of its safety
mm-hmm.
and require FDA or any country's drug approval agency
mm-hmm.
of enhancement uses as well as medical uses, and approve it only when it's sufficiently safe and effective. I think we should worry about and keep and consider regulating with respect to fairness. That regulation might be, in some cases, banning something that we think is unfair. My own sense is that a more effective regulation would be either making the enhancement more widely available so that everyone can use it, limiting the unfairness as a result, or splitting or having the use or non-use of the enhancement being taken into consideration when judging the results. So you might have an organic chemistry grading curve for people who are enhanced and one organic chemistry grading curve for people who aren't enhanced. I do think that generally for safe and effective enhancements, making them broadly accessible is probably the best way to cope with questions of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
finally, I think we will need to think about whether we want to regulate coercion. My employer, Stanford University, can force me to go to seminars, can force me to get some additional training. Could they force me to take an enhancing pill? And if not, why not? We know that in the military, on occasion, people are effectively coerced into taking stimulants in order to fly for long distances or long periods of time. Do we allow that? If we approve it in the military, should we approve it for other employers? Should we approve it for schools, approve it for schools and students? Should we allow the coercion that parents exercise over their children? Now, with any child under a certain age, even if you're doing it for their best interests as a parent, you are effectively coercing them because they don't have the capacity to give informed consent, to make a fully informed decision. We see parents who start their children on very strong educational programs very, very early in life. How would we feel about parents giving their students, giving their children some sort of enhancement medication very early in life? So I think those issues, safety, fairness, and coercion, are the ones we'll need to perhaps regulate and certainly watch.
Should we change maybe that view that we have of medicine and think of it that is also a way to helping patients living better, even if they don't have any disease?
Well, perhaps, but we already do that to some extent. We vaccinate people.
Okay.
People who are vaccinated aren't sick. What we're doing is enhancing their immune system to keep them from getting sick. There are doctors, and certainly this is not the mainstream of medicine, but there are doctors who do cosmetic surgery to make people look better or feel better about themselves, and even when they are not sick. And take something like an oncologist dealing with a terminal cancer patient. That oncologist is not going to cure that patient, but the oncologist will try to improve the quality of the patient's remaining life.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, that also is medicine not aimed at curing, but aimed at enhancing, or in that case, sort of limiting the detriments that come with the disease. So first, I don't think if we look at it closely, we would say that medicine is purely about healing or curing disease. In the long run, I'm not sure that it matters whether we think of enhancement as medical and increase the scope of what we define as medicine,
mm-hmm.
or whether we think of it as something non-medical and have it be done by specialists who aren't defined as healers, who aren't defined as doctors. I'm not sure there's much difference one way or the other, although I do think that it would be probably, in many cases, important to keep access to enhancers under the control of trained professionals who can help patients or help consumers weigh the risks and benefits of using the enhancer. Some enhancements might ultimately be shown to be so safe and effective that they would be available to anybody without a prescription or without an equivalent of a prescription. And we already have an example of that in caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Professor Greeley, thank you very much.
Sure.